you're a California conservative, a libertarian, a moderate Democrat, believe in common sense, or just a sane person, this is the political podcast for you. It's the California Underground Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I'm your host, Phil, and as always, with me is my trusty co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West. Camille, how are you doing tonight?
I am good. So my sinuses are a little bit crazy right now. So if I'm like, what, or I talk weird, I apologize. That's why. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to see. Okay. Yeah, there was an issue. Of course, the one time we try this big, beautiful new studio, it seems that there's a problem with the software, not on our side, but on Instagram's side. So I'll keep an eye on that and see what's going on right now. But we're trying to get it to go live for Instagram. So yeah. Anyway, we are in a, as you can see, a little bit of a different kind of space right here. We got a new intro. Things are a little bit more fancy. We're trying a new streaming software. We should be live on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. I'm going to keep an eye on Instagram. Why Instagram is just not cooperating with anything. It's a new thing right now. Instagram is trying out this whole new, like, you can stream through a third party. It used to never be that way. You had to like stream through the Instagram app. So now that they're allowing this, I think it's brand new since last week. It's kind of taken a little bit of time to get off the ground. But anyway, so did you stay nice and dry and warm while we were with all the rain that was coming up?
I stayed at my cozy house.
Lucky you.
Did you drown?
Did I drown? No, I don't think it was that bad today. Actually, okay. I thought it was actually not as bad as people were making it out to be. Like last week, it seemed like it was pouring buckets, but this week it seemed like it was a little bit of spritz, and then by like one or two, it was already sunny. I will say this though, as someone who grew up on the East Coast, and this is, you know, just my observation of Southern Californians in general. Y'all have something against the rain, and you're very scared of it. I don't know what it is. Because as I'm getting ready for work, I see all these emails coming in from different coworkers like, I got a case of the sniffles and I'll be working from home today. And then it was another person. I as well got a case of the sniffles and I'll be working from home today. It's like, you can just admit you don't want to drive in the rain.
I didn't know that a case of the sniffles was a thing, to be honest. I didn't know people said that.
Yeah, people were just like, I don't care. Work from home, whatever, do whatever. But I just think it's funny. Like, you can just say, I don't want to drive in the rain. But it was interesting how, like, so many people were, like, working from home today because anticipation of the rain. It wasn't even really that bad, to be completely honest. It just kind of phased out halfway through the day. But anyway, we're just doing a little friendly banter before the show. Now this really frustrates me why we can't do Instagram. We were so looking forward to this and now it's Instagram's having a problem. Anyway. So
I see that we're on Twitter/X and we're on YouTube. Perfect.
Let's see. Once you're live, it's really interesting. Interesting. Okay. So what I'm going to do right now, why don't you just kind of update people on what we're going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about Carl DeMaio. Give me about 3 seconds to see if I can get this going again.
So Carl DeMaio, he's been up to a lot since, what was it, April of last 2023 that we last spoke about him. We had an episode. We promised a part two and we didn't get on that right away. And things got even better for us though, because we have so much more that has happened.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. I am.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
Okay. I'm very excited. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to add this back in and see if this works. Here we go. I'm very excited because I want to, before we get started, I want people to. Oh, no, that didn't even work. Interesting. Yeah, because here we go. I think it worked. There we go. Congratulations. We're live on Instagram. Okay. Anyway, so yes, a little bit of background on what happened.
Wait, it looks good. I'm sorry. Did you see?
Oh, it does. Yeah, I can see it over here. It actually looks really good. As opposed to the other software where it's like half of our face.
Right. And then you don't see my fireplace and like your instruments.
Yeah. So welcome everybody who is joining live on Instagram, X. I'm still not used to saying X. X, YouTube, and Facebook. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. Oh, thank you. Someone already commented. It looks really good. Thank you very much. Anyway, so.
Do we look good?
What are we talking about? We were talking about the rain.
One of our favorites.
Anyway, Carl DeMaio. So we had an episode back last summer about Carl DeMaio. Now, a lot of people who don't maybe aren't familiar with like San Diego local politics are probably like, who the heck is Carl DeMaio and why do we care about Carl DeMaio? He's very influential. He's very powerful down here in San Diego. Some people say he runs the San Diego GOP. I would probably agree with that he does run the San Diego GOP. He has a lot of power and influence because he can raise a lot of money. I will give him kudos on the fact that he is incredible at raising money. We're going to go over some of the numbers of like how much money he can actually raise. But if you remember, sort of OG fans will remember that our thing, even though we talk a lot about politics, is we've done a good amount of exposing grifters in the political movement here in California. And why is that? Is it because there are plenty of politicians and there are plenty of people who know that people in California are desperate for help. They're desperate for change. They're desperate for someone to come in and help them. They're desperate for someone to kind of turn the tide a little bit. And I think there's a good amount of people who know that and know that they can take advantage. Now, even though everyone thinks that California is this like deep blue state, which it definitely is, there's plenty of conservatives and Republicans. In 2020, more Republicans voted in the state of California for Donald Trump than in any other state, which is pretty incredible to think that California had the most Republicans voting for Donald Trump. There's a lot of Republicans. There's a lot of conservatives. There's a lot of people who are looking for help. And there are some people who recognize that and they move into that space and figure it out. This is my opinion. Disclaimer, a lot of this is opinion. This is our observation on a lot of this stuff. A lot of this is also public record, which we're going to show you tonight. I believe Carl DeMaio is one of those people. He sees the opportunity. He knows there's a lot of people who are desperate for wanting to see some sort of change. He's been very good at putting these PACs together and these nonprofits and all that stuff. He's very good at kind of rallying the troops. He had a radio show for a long time. He had to step down from his radio show because of the assembly run. Spoiler alert, he's running for a state assembly now. We'll get into that. And that's sort of why we're talking about Carl DeMaio. And we're going to go over this stuff so that generally you, hopefully our hope is that you can learn from this. And if you have any questions, you can always DM me or Camille. Camille is 100 times better at than I am. That's why I call her the best and fastest researcher in the West. If you have any questions on how to look up people, if there's a red flag or something that you're like, this politician or this person doesn't really feel right to me. So therefore, maybe I should look into him. So where we left off, this is like a previously on California Underground. Last time we talked about mostly Reform California, which is Carl DeMaio's PAC, which is essentially the nucleus of everything that Carl DeMaio does. PACs are set up for a specific number of reasons, whether it's to support ballot initiatives, whether it's to promote certain candidates. But the one general rule of PACs is what? They are not supposed to coordinate with candidates because we have these things called contribution limits and campaign contribution limits so that you can't pay to one candidate a lot of money. So you can set up PACs, you can set up super PACs and stuff like that. They're not supposed to coordinate. And we left off last time. We got an email from Carl DeMaio that day that we started to examine, which showed, it's clear as day, it showed Reform California, yada, yada, yada. It looked exactly like if you got an email from Reform California.
Yeah, to clarify, so, it was like a Reform California email went out. Like he didn't like email you and I.
No. It's like
that day. Yeah, it's a list. It's like, no.
Exactly. Which We'll explain a little bit more in what's going on with him right now. But yeah, if you sign up to his email list, he's going to email you. You get this email. It says Reform California. It's got his logo. It's got his colors and all that stuff. You look at it, and if you were not really paying attention, it looks like a Reform California email. You're looking at it and go, oh, okay. I like Reform California. I've donated to them in the past. Therefore, let me see what's going on. I think it was something about, do you want to help flip state offices? Yeah, sure. I want to help flip state offices. I think that's important. You go down, he has a little spiel about how important it is and Democrats and blah, blah, blah. Then you get to the bottom and it says donate here. You click on the donate because you're excited. You're moved by his wonderful email that he wrote or intern wrote or somebody wrote. I doubt Carl DeMaio wrote it. You go to click on it and you go to donate. But if you go all the way down, what did it say?
It said donations go to Carl DeMaio for Central Committee 2024.
Right. So if you were someone who was not really paying attention, you would you could see it, but you had to scroll all the way down. There was all this white space in between. All the way down it says Carl DeMaio for Central Committee 2024. So if you were someone who was looking at this email and you were a Reform California person, you would say, I'm donating to Reform California because I want him to help flip these state offices. When in reality, you're actually donating for him to run for Central Committee of the San Diego Republican Party. Little bait and switch there. And I definitely think that's something that he's kind of towing the line on. It seems like, especially now that he's running for assembly, there's kind of this like, I don't know, it's kind of merging together Reform California. Now it's different. It's called like Reform California, something else. He's renamed it. But we're going to get into that tonight. And that's kind of where we left off is his kind of games to get people to donate to him under the auspicion that they're donating for something. And then it turns into something else. He's no longer running for Central Committee. Yes.
Before you move on from that, can you explain what somebody running for Central Committee, what they're doing? Like what are they running for specifically?
Central Committee is in charge of your county party. If anyone in the chat wants to clarify a little bit more. So it's basically like the board, I guess, that like runs the party. And then they pick a chair does the party pick a chair? I don't know. Someone in the chat who's watching on any of our streams, go ahead and put in the comment right now. Let me know.
I'm not that familiar, but just there's, you know, California is a big state, but we have the California GOP. And then within that, and they have their board and everything. And then within that, we have all these central committees. So he was running for San Diego Central Committee, obviously GOP, not DNC. And so I think within that, then that county, they'll endorse candidates. And so the people who win the elected seats, such as if Carl DeMaio had, you know, run for 2024 and won that seat, and then the others who had the seat, they're the ones who get to vote on, bylaws and endorsements, if I'm not mistaken. And then I'm sure there's other little things along the way.
I think that it's just the committee that helps run the entire party. And then there's like subcommittees based on district, stuff like that. So someone said, I'm part of the Riverside County Central Committee. The Central Committee is the entity under elections code for each party that runs the party by county. Cool. Thank you, Samantha. I love all the chats in one spot. That's nice to see everything. Makes it nice and clean. So that's where we left off. He was running for Central Committee. No longer running for Central Committee because out of nowhere, he has now decided to run for State Assembly. Cynthia says, for San Diego and Central Committee, it's elected in March this cycle, and then eventually they'll elect the officers, including the chair. There you go. See? That's why we have people on here who know more than
Cynthia, clarify what they do. They're elected. In the chat.
Well, we talk about this. So, Carl DeMaio decided a couple months ago he was going to run for State Assembly.
Sure, it was a couple months ago.
What district did he pick?
he
didn't pick the district that he technically lives in,
which is a rule.
We have a document. We don't want to put it up because we don't want to dox him. We don't want people to be like, oh, you put his address up. That's not cool.
But it's public.
It is public. You can go find it, but we don't want to get accused of like we're trying to dox Carl DeMaio. So he decided to run for state assembly in the 75th. I initially got it wrong, and I think the graphic says 77th, which I think is where he lives. He technically lives in the 76th.
He lives in 76.
He lives in the 76th.
Which is Christy Bruce Lane is running for that seat. And of course, he is Christy Bruce Lane's cheerleader and has endorsed her. And their BFFs.
Yeah. We're going to look at the voter guide in a little bit. We've had our own run-ins with Christy Bruce Lane. So he's decided to run for the state assembly seat. Why? Is it because that there's no one there? Is it because it's a vulnerable seat? He saw an opportunity. They twisted his arm. Is that why he ran? No, there's actually already someone running. There's actually two people already running. Andrew Hayes, who's running, and he's actually the endorsed candidate by the San Diego County GOP. Just as of a couple weeks ago, there was another guy named Jack Fernandez who kind of bowed out after Carl DeMaio jumped into the race. So it was Jack Fernandez and Andrew Hayes. Now we have Carl DeMaio and Andrew Hayes. So they're running against each other in a district that is pretty favorable to both of them. So it is a chance that they could, either one of them could go to the assembly. Why is he actually running? I mean, we could sit here and speculate as to why he's running. Is it the idea that he could raise a lot of money by running for state assembly? Is it like his past campaigns that he's run? Remember in the last episode we talked about, yeah, he won for city council, then he ran for Congress, and then he ran for Congress again. Both were unsuccessful. So is this a new kind of thing that he can do to raise a lot more money? So that's sort of where we're at right now. Where do you want to start with all this information? Because we got a ton of information to get to before the rest of the episode.
I have no idea. Okay. Let's start with Central Committee 2024 campaign.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Well, okay. So he was, correct me if I'm wrong, he was until just recently already on the Central Committee GOP San Diego, correct? Mm-hmm. He was an elected member. He stepped down due to his run for assembly, but he was running again for 2024. So he had a committee open for that, which he was able to fundraise a lot of money mm-hmm. on. And we talked about the little bait and switch on that email. So we know that there was a lot of money in the Central Committee for 2024 campaign, which he has since terminated that campaign. He's no longer running for Central Committee 2024. He did open a Central Committee 2028, whether or not he'll run for that. Who knows? That's obviously years away, but he opened that committee and threw some money in there. And of course, he opened the assembly run. But let's now talk about what happens with all this money that he raised for Central Committee 2024. Where does it go? What happens to it?
Well, we're going to get into that. But first,
okay,
someone commented on Instagram, which is kind of interesting. And to Dogaholic, I just want to let you know, stay tuned. He says Jack has not bowed out unless that's happened within the last 2 days. So either Jack it has not bowed out or Carl is lying, because we're going to watch a video where Carl thinks.
Yes, I did notice that, actually, and I was going to bring that up.
So Carl might be not telling the full truth on what's going on with Jack.
Well, I texted you today, but you were kind of ignoring me. And I said, because I got to the part, but I don't want to give away the spoilers of the video, but I said, it feels like when he's talking about Jack, it's kind of like it's like a Trump move, the way, you know, Jack is a good guy. He's one of my good friends. I love him dearly. But then I won't say more about what I said, because we'll get to the video and then I'll add my comments. But
yeah. Okay. So I want to show this screen. Okay. Bear with me. I'm going to try and do this. There we go. So this is, that's not it. Sorry. We're going to talk about this in a little bit.
So many things.
Bear with me. I'm trying to get used to this new studio software. Again, I always put this out there. If there's anybody who wants to be producer of the California Underground Podcast, please feel free to contact us at californiaunderground@protonmail.com or .com. Okay, here we go. So Carl DeMaio made this big, huge statement, $951,000 in 24 days, which sounds like a crap ton of money to raise.
Wait,
right?
Hold on. I'm interrupting you because for those who are watching on video, you see how it says, it shows that his Twitter handle, Carl DeMaio, nothing to see here yet. This is because this is a screenshot that I sent and I'm blocked. So I can't.
I'm also blocked by Carl DeMaio on Twitter. So yeah, we can't see Carl DeMaio's tweets because he blocked both of us. Anyway, 951,000 in 24 days, Carl DeMaio's campaign for state assembly releases initial tally just 24 days after Carl DeMaio announced he is running for California state assembly, so to bring the energy and innovative solutions of his Reform California movement into the state. That's what he's now changed it to. It's the Reform California movement. It's not long. He doesn't call it a pack anymore. Into the state legislature, his campaign has brought in more than $951,000 to lock down the seat and starts January with nearly $900,000 on cash. So that sounds like a lot of money to raise in 24 days. It sounds like he's like super popular. Correct?
Correct. That's a lot of money in 24 days.
That is a lot of money.
Seriously, that's a ton of money.
But you were looking at some stuff, and I'm going to pull it up, and you may have to like, you'll have to guide me and drive it a little bit to show where I'm looking, and so we can show everybody who's tuning in. Okay, hold on. I'm getting the hang of this. Okay. So
I think is this the 3,400 page document?
Yes, this is the 3,400 page document.
Okay. All right.
So tell me what I'm looking at, because so you put this in the notes.
Looking at. Okay. So they have to candidates have to, once they start, like if they raise over $2,000, they have to release their financials. And there's a schedule of, depending on how long they've been running and how close the election it is and stuff. And so this is, let me see. So this is starting from July 1st, 2023 till the end of 2023. Financials that he brought in for, this is for his assembly campaign. So, something to note here, I should probably just pull this up because I'm like looking at the tiny little screen here. Is this, are you sure this is the 34? Yes, this is the 3,400 page document. Okay. Scroll down a couple pages. Okay, actually there, just well, stop. Okay. See how there's a name and amount. And then below that, a transfer?
Yes.
Okay. Scroll slowly to show how, not all of them, but just how often this transfer appears.
Okay, so there was one on this page. There was another one.
There's two.
There's two. There's three.
It's like every other one at this point.
Yeah, you don't like every other one transfer.
You don't have to show a ton, but it's like, okay. So
also, just side note, if you're looking at the occupations of everybody who also donates, keep in mind right here, retired. A lot of retirees.
Majority retirees. Okay. So this transfer, what this is, these are transfers from his Central Committee 2024 account. Now, this is legal. Just want to point that out. I'm not saying that was wrong of him to do. But okay, I have the numbers. I sent you an email. Let me pull up my email because I think I laid this all out. Where's my first set of notes? I want to give you guys some numbers. Okay, here. Go to page 456.
Of this document.
Of that document. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to make this as easy to digest as possible, but there's a lot. Okay. On here, transfer. Okay, so he transferred. That's not the one. Scroll down one page. I have it written as 456, but I wonder if I. Hold on. Okay. somewhere on here, I swear, somewhere on here, there is a transfer pay Carl DeMille for Central Committee 2028, $8,617. So he transferred $8,600 to his Central Committee 2028 campaign. Again, legal. He closed, terminated the 2024 Central Committee, and he's got to do something with all his money. There's all that money sitting there. So he transferred $8,600 to his 2028 Central Committee campaign. Okay. But then what we learn is that he transferred $468,000. Am I saying $100,000, basically?
$468,000.
Just under $469,000 from Central Committee to State Assembly 2024. I want to say, clarify again, this is not illegal. That's not shady. But that is where basically $500,000 of that almost $1 million raised in 24 days. No, that's a lie. He transferred from the Central Committee $500,000. Ish, meaning that was raised over a period of like a year. And then he ran and was like, look how popular I am. Everyone loves me. This is how much money I raised in 24 days. No, you transferred. And then on that same document, there is a $100,000 loan for, I think page 3,265 shows two loans to the DeMille lend himself.
3,000. Say it again. 3,000.
3,265.
Carl DeMille loaned himself 9,000. Carl DeMille 91,000.
Okay. People do this all the time. But now that's another 100K of this 950K that he says he raised in 24 days. So now we have dropped the number down to, well, I think I did the actual math. Basically, he raised about $286,000.
Yeah. So the point that we're trying to we're going over here, and this is why this is almost a 3,500 page document. So excellent work on Camille's part to look at this. It's not illegal. Again, we have to say that it's not illegal, but it is deceptive. And if you're sending out mailers and information that Carl DeMille raised all of this money, like almost $1 million. If you were someone who was supporting Carl DeMille, or let's say you didn't really understand, like, well, should I support Andrew Hayes or Carl DeMille? You'd look at that and go, wow, Carl DeMille raised almost $1 million in under a month. That's really impressive. I guess he's the better candidate. But when more than like half of that money based on these filings comes from another campaign, which going back to that campaign was already deceptive because they were using Reform California emails to get people to donate to a central committee. So now all of a sudden you're going, okay, it's like deception to get the money to the central committee. Now it's deception to get that money from central committee to his assembly. So that's kind of what we're trying to point out here. And why is, you know, again, not saying anything is illegal here or anything's wrong. There may be something wrong with the fact that he uses Reform California a little bit too much and kind of buries the lead and has like his central committee and his state assembly, and they're all running or they're all in the same email. But the reason we bring this up is, so if you're donating to someone, you should know where this money is going, right? Right. If you donated to Carl DeMille for central committee because you believed he was going to do something for central committee, you've now that money's now gone to him to run for state assembly. And maybe you support that. But if you're someone who opened that email, like we showed last summer, where you want him and his PAC to flip state seats, all of a sudden it's going to central committee. And then that central committee is going to a state assembly.
Right. And that frustrates me because there's people that I might support for a certain seat, but not another seat due to whatever reason. Like if I hear that you're running for mayor of San Diego, I would probably support you for that. I don't live in San Diego. I can't vote for you, but I would probably donate to your campaign. Like, I know you, I trust you. You know, I know you don't have experience in actual politics, but you're a constitutional attorney. Obviously, like, we're friends. I know you're very intelligent. And I'd be like, yeah, you know what? You know a lot about politics and the city, and you've been there for a while. Like, you probably make a great mayor. But if all of a sudden then you switch that to a totally different, and you're like, oh, I'm running for the governor of California, and you like transferred it all, I'd be like, wait, hold up, Phil. Like, what are you doing with my donation? And are you really fit to run for governor? Because no, you're not. No offense. But like, so it's like, why would I donate to you to run for governor if I'm like, no, like, I don't, I'm sorry. I'm just going to get that out there right now. Phil, if you decide tomorrow that you're going to run for governor in 2026, I'm probably not going to support you on that.
That's perfectly
fine. If you decide that you want to run for mayor in a year or two, I'm probably going to support you on that.
That's also fine. I don't plan on running for mayor ever. So
I know, but I'm just saying that it's such a world of difference of I support you for central committee and I support you for assembly is not the same thing. And that's why I think that's wrong.
Yeah. And sadly, it is like we have to keep repeating ourselves for legal reasons. It is legal to do this. And there are a lot of candidates who fall into this group, and we're not going to name names, but there's a lot of candidates in California, especially on the conservative side, who will raise a crap ton of money and they'll just kind of shuffle it around. They'll just go, okay, I raised, you know, a crap ton of money for Congress. Okay, now I can move it around to something else. And then I can move it around. Like, they can just kind of keep taking that money with them and moving it around. And like, you may support them for Congress, but then all of a sudden they move over here and do something else. To me, that just does come off as deceptive and shady. And if I were, like you said, to your point, if I was getting emails that said one thing and then all of a sudden the person I'm donating to is doing something completely different, I would feel kind of like I was cheated. Like, well, what did I spend money for? I supported you for this one thing. Unless, of course, you're a Carl DeMaio stan who just loves everything that Carl DeMaio does.
So if you are retired and live in, you know, and have some money to spare and hate California politics, Carl's probably the guy that you want to, you know, throw money at.
Yeah. Someone actually, donors can ask for their money returned.
They can, but are they even aware that this bait and switch happened? Like,
that's another thing. Unless people like us actually go through it, or I would say someone like you who goes through the 3,000 page document and finds this stuff.
I didn't. I just searched for keywords. You know, I didn't read 3,500 pages.
But still, so if someone saw 3,000 pages, they're going to be like, ah, hell no, I'm not reading that whole thing. But
I sincerely did not read 3,500 pages of this.
No, thankfully, all this stuff is text searchable. So. It, you know, that is something that to me is kind of deceptive. Now, again, I want to talk about something else in terms of, forget the money. We brought up the fact, does Carl, is he running to represent his own district, like where he lives?
Oh, yeah.
Did he wake up and go, I want to represent the constituents that live around me, where I live? Is that what he's doing right now?
No.
Because as we've already mentioned, he does not live in that district.
He does not. We have 100% proof.
We do have proof. And again, we don't want to show the document just because we don't want to dox him.
Can we show people how to find it? Again, it's public. It's totally public and it's there for a reason.
You could show people how to find it.
Well,
should we do that?
You have all the power. Do it.
Okay. Where do I go? Walk me through like I'm... Like
you have my email, the first email of notes.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Scroll down to I'm like moving on, go to fpbc.ca.gov, click on that.
Okay.
And then read my instructions there. And then you can just stop short of pulling up the document, or you can pull up the document and only show certain parts.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Scroll down to, I want to.
Well, show.
I can show people.
Yeah.
Let's see. Da, 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 da. This is more of an educational podcast tonight, just for everyone who is curious.
Just using Carl as an example.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the
better.
fpbc.ca.gov. Is that correct?
Oh, no. This is the Secretary of State. I got the wrong one again.
Okay.
I'll get the hang of this.
You want www.fppc.ca.gov. GOV.
Yep. This is what it looks like.
Okay.
Okay.
So you see it's on the left there, it says form 700. Anyway, we're gonna, the form 700 is a form that many candidates, not all in California, are required to file showing where they get their income from. Like if they have investments and stuff, just because some of this could be considered, what's the word I'm looking for? If, cause you know, we hear a lot of people get into office and then all of a sudden they get rich off stock. So this
is a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Conflict of interest. And so, so you're going to scroll down to where it says, I want to, so that's not too far down, but a little bit more. There you go. Okay. So this is, I want to, and then under view, under the tab that's there, view the 700 filing by office, right? Yes. Filed by an elected official. And then you're going to click on search for a form 700 filed after September 1st, 2016.
Okay.
Scroll a little so we can see, is it opening up for you? It looks like it's not. There it goes. Okay. Yep. So here, all you would have to do is search for the last name DeMaio. Yeah, you, by doing this, you're not going to show anything yet. So you can still hit search and you're safe. Okay. So it pulled up a Carl DeMaio, his filing. And then you would click on the little microscope. What is that called? Not a microscope. The little
magnifying glass.
Sorry, I cannot talk tonight. You would click on that, and that's going to bring up the form 700 filing. That's going to show his investments, including properties he owns that maybe he rents out and stuff like that. So that is how you would look at the form 700. On that form, it actually shows his address that he lives at with his husband. Mm-hmm. And then, and they've owned that house for several years. And then when you scroll through that form, then he shows his current, what he lists as an apartment. It's a single family home. I guess he's allegedly renting a room from that he started renting December 1st, 2023. And of course I looked up that house, a single family home. There's like a woman who I believe is recently divorced because I do my thorough research. I think she lives with her adult daughter. So he's allegedly renting a room, but he lists it as apartment one. Again, single family residence, not his, not in his name. I have access to voter data. It's he's not registered to vote there. This other woman is. Him and his husband are registered to vote at his address. That is in District 76, not 75, but is using this place of residence as his fake address. Mm-hmm. That he started renting December 1st, 2023. So he quickly got, I believe he probably is legitimately paying to rent this room just so that he has, you know, the address. But again, mm-hmm. he does not live there. He lives in District 76, not 75.
And just for clarification, there is a rule that you have to live in the district.
There is a rule that you have to live in. Not only do you have to live in the district at the time of filing, which is why he has this fake address, but apparently there is an unenforced rule in the California Constitution that you have to have lived in the district for at least 1 year prior to filing to run in that office.
Would you like to hear that whole text?
Sure. Please.
So if anybody is curious, it's Article 4, Section 2, Subsection C. Quote, a person is ineligible to be a member of the legislature unless the person is an elector and has been a resident of the legislative district for 1 year and a citizen of the United States and a resident of California for 3 years immediately preceding the election and service of the full term of office to which the person is seeking to be elected would not exceed the maximum years of service permitted by division, blah, blah, blah. So if he rented this room December of last year, he still wouldn't have lived in the district for 1 year prior to the election, because the election's in November. So he still has to, he would have had to register probably in September to qualify for a full year to, again, for those on audio, I'm putting a lot of air quotes.
See, I just
darn it, I knew it was going to happen again.
Don't do that.
For some reason, the balloons keep coming out. So I'm not going to do any air quotes.
No air quotes.
he should have been living in this apartment since September. So he's already behind on that and in violation of the California Constitution. But like you said, it is something that's not readily enforced. I don't think it's something I've never really heard of a lot of people getting dinged for this.
Right. They do it all the time. Doesn't make it okay, but they do it all the time.
I mean, they should crack down on it just because if the intent of the California Constitution is you should live in this district that you're actually planning on representing, they should start cracking down on this stuff. Like, do you actually live here or are you just renting someone's basement or like their one bedroom?
Right.
Which clearly seems to be the case here.
But okay. So that just leads me to the question, though, of why? Okay. 75th is primarily red. It's safe. Andrew Hayes was already running and endorsed. I know you said by the San Diego Central Committee, but wasn't he also endorsed by the California GOP already? If someone knows for a fact, let me know. I thought he was. So he was already, Andrew Hayes already endorsed. I believe Andrew Hayes was school board. He has some experience in the office. He didn't just come out of nowhere. So now he's like the main name for this primarily red district. So it's not like we were going to lose this seat. It's pretty safe. Of course, there's never a guarantee. We're always one election away from losing the seat, but it's pretty safe. And then 76th district where Carl actually does live, because I don't think that he actually moved out and left his husband and, moved into a renting a bedroom when he owns this great house. 76th district is one of it's like the most flippable seat in California. I hear that. And the 40th are basically, and Christy Bruce Lane is already endorsed there. She has a great shot at winning 76. What was his point in doing all this? To me, the whole thing is so shady. It's so wrong. And it's very hypocritical on two levels, because one, he has spoken out against people running against the endorsed candidate. He's spoken out against, if the GOP has already endorsed a candidate, then why would another Republican run against that person? And he tried to recall a school board member who he claimed didn't live in her district. Just a couple years ago, he was all over Twitter about it, saying she's recalled, she doesn't live in that district, she's using a fake address. He was so against it. And now he is allegedly doing exactly what he claims is wrong and bad. And so I have zero respect for that. I think it's disgusting. I can't get on board with it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're someone who preaches that we all need to rally behind the endorsed candidates and we all have to unite, this is just my own personal experience. And from what I've heard of other people in San Diego, it's one of those things where Carl will be like, yes, we all need to unite behind person X. As long as I endorse person X, that's it. You can't unite behind this other person that I don't like. You have to endorse this person or you get behind this person. There is a video that just came out literally 3 or 4 days ago of Carl DeMaio at an event. So if we want to hear, in turn to answer your question, why did Carl DeMaio run? Do you want to hear in his own words? We can watch this video. So ready for this? We can hear it. And Carl explained in his own words, why did you jump into this race?
And so when the Democrats attacked me in this campaign to try to boost other candidates or pretenders, you have to understand, they fear me more than any other Republican going into that legislature as the Assembly District 75 representative. They actually have said up in Sacramento, DeMaio is an existential threat.
An existential threat. Carl DeMaio is an existential threat to Democrats. A supermajority, by the way, that, Republicans, for lack of a better term, it's a supermajority. Democrats don't even have to listen to Republicans in the state legislature. He's an existential threat to them up in Sacramento. They are shaking in their boots that they just don't want Carl DeMaio to be up in Sacramento.
You know what? They're damn right. I will be a threat to their progressive agenda, their left-wing agenda. We are going to go up there, shake up the system, and drain the swamp. I'm not just saying I'm going to do that. We broke the supermajority with your help in 2018, and with your help in 2024, or probably 2026, we will do it again. When you break that supermajority, we're back at the table, we have leverage. And then we're going to set our sights on taking back our state with a majority. It will happen. I don't want you to flee the state, which means I've got to show you incremental results as soon as possible.
Okay. For those who are our loyal listeners, if you remember, what did we talk about in the last Carl DeMaio episode? In the midterms, which was expected to have a red wave as opposition to Joe Biden, it was supposed to be this huge red wave, and they were expecting, they were able to get some momentum going. We looked at the numbers for Reform California, and they ended the year with $1 million on hand.
I thought it was like 6 million, but okay.
Well, I think listening to the show today, it was like $1 million that they just did not spend.
Okay.
Basically, they didn't spend money in the midterms. So this notion from Carl that just because he's going to go up there, he's going to help break the supermajority. Like, you've had this PAC that, I'll give you credit, has been very, very successful in raising a crap ton of money from poor retirees who have been swindled by your little shindig or your little act. You've had the ability with this powerful PAC to flip a number of seats, to be super influential. So where has all that money gone? You taking over a safe red seat is not flipping seats or chipping away at the supermajority. If you're so powerful and influential, you should have used Reform California. I mean, $1 million, and we said this on the show last time, you have no idea how much $1 million goes in these local races. You could spread that around and help a lot of people and a lot of candidates get over that hump. People who lost by maybe a couple hundred votes or 1,000 votes or something like that. So this whole idea of like, well, if you elect me to assembly, I'm going to go break up the supermajority. It's like, no, you've had this ability to help try and break up the supermajority for every year that you've had this Reform California PAC that raises millions of dollars. But you're not sharing the wealth. You're not helping out. You're not being a team player. So any thoughts before I hit play again?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I need your support, and I need you not to be fooled by the Sacramento swamp. They're going to be sending all sorts of slick mailers down here. You know who I am. You know I've been here every 4 to 5 months giving you updates on the various fights that we need to wage. Win or lose, I will always be there in the trench with you to fight. So don't pay no mind to those Sacramento swamp special interests. They're lying to you. They do not want a fighter in this seat. They want to go along, get along Republican, because that's the type they like up in Sacramento, until they pick him off and replace him with a full-fledged Democrat. Don't fall for it. Let's unite. Let's take our state back.
Why would you enter an assembly race that already has a Republican running, especially in a conservative district for which the Republican candidate is very likely to win?
That's a good question. I did not have running for this seat on my bingo card. I started thinking about this, even possibly running for anything, actually, when Rick Grinnell called me in late October and said, there's a number of people that want to sit down with you and talk about the Reform California movement. Can you?
Rick Grinnell, who also started the Fix California PAC that I've seen quite literally nothing on his back. So
haven't fixed California.
He hasn't come close to fixing California, and Carl DeMaio has not come close to reforming California. So it makes sense that the two of them met together and talked about how they can continue to not do either of their stated purposes.
I'm just going to throw this out there. If anyone has a connection to Rick Grinnell, I would love to confirm whether or not this is true.
Yeah. If we could confirm with Rick Grinnell that he actually sat down with Carl DeMaio, that would be hilarious.
Put something on your schedule. I said, absolutely. I sat down and they said, Kevin McCarthy has been removed as speaker. He's not going to run for re-election. And so in California, he was always in charge of the California Republican Party. McCarthy was frustrated the hell out of me. Because all the things that we were trying to do, we'd always be told no, or that the state party wouldn't help us. And I know where that was coming from.
Go ahead.
Is Kevin McCarthy the reason that he had $1 million cash on hand? Because Kevin McCarthy said, no, can't do it. Is that where this is going?
That's why he had $1 million. No, I was going to share, because of the beauty of doing a live show with live listeners, one of our listeners in the chat said they just confirmed with Jack Fernandez that he has not dropped out of the race.
Okay.
So.
And the folks that sat down with me said, there is a vacuum of leadership. If not you, who? If not now, when? That was late October, and I had to spend a couple weeks mulling it over because I was reluctant to do it. Over Thanksgiving, I finally said...
Reluctant to do it? Carl DeMille loves to insert himself into anything that ingratiates himself and puts him at the center of attention. Reluctant to... He probably woke up and got giddy with the idea of running for state assembly, if he actually had this meeting with Rick Grenell. But,
you know, I'm also tired of people trying to act all humble and like, I didn't want to do this. I really didn't want to run for this. No, I want you to want to run for this. I want to know that you want this so badly that you're going to fight for us. I don't want to be like, well, someone really had to pull my arm and had to bribe me and had to, you know, convince me to get out of bed and do this. Then I don't want you there. Go home. Go home. Yeah. You don't want it. I don't want you. Go.
Yeah, sorry. There's plenty of candidates who will work their ass off to fill these seats and to get elected. But if we're gonna twist your arm, I'll twist my arm and raise a couple $1 million that I can shuffle around in my game of Monty.
Said that's it. If I don't do this now, it was because I was seeing failure after failure after failure happening in Sacramento, and I saw what's going on throughout the state. I heard that the local party here in San Diego broke. No money, they didn't have money for payroll. I got a call about, hey, can you help bail out the local party? And I said, God, this...
Just conjecture here. Maybe you stop charging them for Capital Media and all of that. Maybe they won't be broke. I'm just saying. More also, if you later. Stop, if you stop diverting funds like donors away from the San Diego GOP into to yourself, maybe the San Diego GOP wouldn't be broke because you want to hog all the donors for yourself. Just saying. So the fact that he's like, oh, I have to come in and bail them out.
If I don't do this now, I'm going to be packing a U-Haul truck in 10 years or sooner. And I'm not willing to do that. I've got to make this stand. I've got to sacrifice. This is the worst job I've ever applied for, by the way. I will happily do it as a happy warrior. But let me tell you this. I think the question better is posed to the people who stayed in the race. When I announced I was running, I got a call from Jack Fernandez, who was not invited to this forum today. He's also running as a Republican. He said, Carl, I'm disappointed I won't be the assembly member, but you got my support. I'm on the ballot, but you got my support. I'm not going to run a campaign aggressively against you. I said, man, I appreciate that. You should stay in the race and learn and meet people because we need young, good candidates like you in the future. It was a wonderful, this guy, I want you to learn more about him. He's got a compelling story. He's great. I've actually had him at my campaign events the past couple of weeks. I bring him up on stage. I say, I want you all to.
I would love to speak to Jack Fernandez now because I feel like, and this is just my opinion, 100%. I feel like this conversation where he's like, Jack, stay in the race. You need the experience, whatever. I feel like Jack wasn't maybe actually going to drop out. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to make it sound like the reason why Jack is in the race still is because he told him, you know, you should stay in and get this experience. Like he's trying to make it like it was his thing. Like, don't drop out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. My opinion is that Jack probably wasn't going to drop out. So Carl had to save face and be like, I told him stay in.
Well, yeah, this whole race it kind of came as a shock to people that when he announced he was running for state assembly, because a lot of people were like, wait a second, there's already two Republicans running already. So why do we need a third Republican running? Somebody just mentioned, is that why Jack Fernandez got endorsed for Central Committee? Yeah, I don't think we'll get time to it, but there is a voter guide that Reform California.
Yes, and Carl, I think with that spent money, not his own money, but like PAC money to endorse Jack in the campaign. I'm still, yeah, I don't know if like sort of if we get into that document or not. I'm kind of confused about what exactly is happening in that document, but I did call someone who I know is on there and had a conversation with them today. I won't say who, but I know that that person did not give money. This person I spoke to did not donate money to be on the voter guide, but it sounds like Carl donated money in one of the, like with a PAC for them. Like, I'm going to donate money to put them on this voter guide. So,
oh, look at that. See, the beauty of live streaming. Jack Fernandez is actually in the chat right now.
Oh, whoa. I don't see a comment. What?
He's Jack, on Instagram hello. Right now over on Instagram. Hey, all, pleased to be running hard for the 75th and looking forward to continuing to speak about the things that matter, creating jobs, encouraging business, enforcing laws, securing the border. Damn. Okay. Well, that's the beauty of live. You know, we're talking about this right now. So it's interesting. Whether this was the real conversation, I don't know. Maybe he wants to answer.
I feel like now we can't ask. If he wants to answer, fine, but we won't put you on.
Yeah,
the spot.
You don't have to divulge anything, Jack, if you don't want to. If you just want to stay in the race because you want to stay, we don't have time to get him on right now. I wish we did have time to get him on. Otherwise, these Carl DeMaio episodes turn into like a marathon of stuff that we have to unravel. But anyway, so let's keep going.
Call to meet Jack Fernandez. Now, don't vote for him, but this guy's got a great future. I want you to learn more about him. Dan Bickford, did I not do that 3 weeks ago at Lakeside? There you are. I do it at all my events. The question is, why would another Republican file for the seat and remain in the seat and waste so much Republican money? I think that's a question you should ask that Republican. And I will give you the example in the...
Why would you insert yourself into a race that already had two Republicans and divert funds away from those two Republicans who had already been running for like almost a year now? Why would you come in and do, oh, because most likely you probably want the money for yourself, but.
I want to say this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We know he can fundraise like crazy. We know he can. He can do so much without running for any seat. With his PACs, he can flip so many seats with that money that he raises. He could change the supermajority. Like Carl DeMaio alone with his PAC can 100% put in the money and the time and the effort to flip those seats and get volunteers and interns and door knockers and phone callers and money for those seats. And literally this election alone, he can change the supermajority. Mm-hmm. If he stays out of the race and focuses on really using Reform California to reform California, he is more than capable, intelligent, and can raise the money and has the resources.
Right. That's what we keep saying is there is a lot of power in being in a very influential PAC that can help a lot of people rather than just be one person. So, yeah, I mean, the question should be, you know, he's trying to say, well, why would someone remain in the race? Why did you insert yourself into a race that already had two candidates and was relatively safe district and it was just going to be between those two candidates? Why did you insert yourself? Why did you feel the need that you had, like, did you think this race was going to go sour or something? Did you not like them? I'm sorry. Jack, thanks for hopping on. I wish we could, but we are running low on time. But if you have anything to say, just throw it in the chat. I'm keeping an eye on the chat for you as we continue to finish out this video.
Donald Trump, when he announced that he was running for the presidential nomination, he was absolutely going to be our nominee from the second he decided he wanted to be our nominee. There was no question in my mind. He had my support right out of the gate. I'm sure in most of your minds, he had your support as well. So what?
Fun fact, Carl DeMaio a long time ago was not a Trump supporter.
Right out of the gate.
You know, a long time ago, when he first ran in 2016, he was not a Trump supporter. He was a big, I think he was a Ted Cruz guy So he hated Trump back in the beginning.
Why in the hell would the Republican Party donors waste $300 million on all the gaggle of pretenders that ran against him? Do you know how much $300 million of money could do to flip congressional seats, Senate seats, assembly seats?
Yes.
That's a pot of gold that we do not have in the Republican Party.
Do you not know how much $1 million would flip in California in local seats, in state assembly, in state senate, in city council, in county supervisor? And you sat on it and you didn't do anything with it. So stop lecturing everybody else about, oh, why are they wasting money? Just, this is like ultimate projection here by Carl Tamayo. Why aren't you spending that money? Why aren't you helping so many other seats that were close, that people could win?
Now, I've looked at Nikki Haley's disclosure. Some of that money's from Democrats, so ha-ha. But a lot of that money, though, came from Republican donors who were duped. So I asked that Republican candidate, why are you duping so many donors and wasting so much money?
And if anyone knows about duping Republican voters, it'd be Carl Tamayo.
Retired.
Not necessary.
What's that?
The retired ones.
Retired Republican voters. It's definitely Carl Tamayo. If anyone can recognize what it takes to dupe Republican voters, Carl Tamayo would be it.
We do not have resources in California. We need every penny, every moment. And so I believe that this election is going to turn out very similar in the assembly district, the way that the nomination for president turned out. I believe that these voters in the 75th district, they know me. They know that I'm a fighter. They know that no matter what lies the corrupt Sacramento swamp tells, that I will stand up and speak truth to power. I will always fight for you and have your back. I will always lead the fight in California to reform this state. The voters know that. They're not going to be duped. Sadly, though, those resources that should be going to other seats are being wasted here. Now, the beautiful thing, like with Nikki Haley, my opponent's going to be funded by a lot of Democrat groups and labor union bosses. So that money, I was actually talking to a target seat Republican. He said, boy, I'm happy you're running. I'm like, well, why? He said, the Democrats and the labor unions are going to tear some money away from me and spend money to promote your opponent. I said, well, you know what? If it takes a little heat off your back, that's all well and good. I'm just telling you all this because you understand we have a uniparty. The Sacramento swamp is going to try to manipulate in this race. Don't let them. Trust your gut. Demand better. And so my question would be, why in the hell would a 5% candidate stay in the race and waste so much of our money? Thank you.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Ultimate projection right there by Carl Tamayo. Yeah. Why would you insert yourself into this race? Why did you sit on $1 million during a midterm election that was supposed to be a red wave when there was supposed to be Republican support? We could have flipped, I don't know, even two or three seats in the assembly or the Senate. That would have been helpful. So those are all questions that maybe Carl should be asked of those. So we are kind of running over the hour right now. I don't want to make this too long. But again, there's so much to cover.
We still didn't get into the FEC reports.
We didn't get into that. There's always so much to cover. I'd like to do a little follow-up in terms of Andrew Hayes and, like, is he being funded by Democrats? If we find that information, we'll post it on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. I don't think he is. If anyone in the chat knows or wants to chime in, go right ahead. But yeah, it's one of those things, and it's a big question mark. Why did he jump in this race? I mean, we know why he jumped in this, or my belief why he jumped in this race is because he saw an opportunity to do this latest thing where he can raise money and he can promote his name. And you know, all this just comes back around. He saw the opportunity he had with city council. He turned it into some political status, power. He's now consolidated that into Reform California. He has the Transparency Project and Capital Media, which technically he doesn't have anything to do with, but they're very intertwined. And now state assembly is just the next thing. It's just the next thing that he can run and promote his name and all that. So in the end, moral of the story for me is keep an eye on all these candidates in California. You know, just because they wear red or blue doesn't mean they're automatically on your team or have your best interests at heart. And it's up to us, and especially in this election year, I feel like we're going to do a lot of these episodes. We're going to go over all this stuff again. Maybe we should do another episode where we can actually like show people. That might be a good episode to just do like, hey, this is how you do this stuff and go look for it. So that way people can go do this information on their own or look for this information on their own. But the moral of the story is do your due diligence. It's not that hard. You can find all this stuff. Any final thoughts for you, Camille?
So do we actually care if Democrats are funding Andrew Hayes? Now, hold on before you answer. Even Democrats in California are fed up with Democrats in California. Not all, but we've come to, I mean, last week you talked about a poll about, you know, wasn't it the UC Berkeley poll or something like that, where
57% of California people polled, 57% said this is a big issue, the budget deficit.
Yeah. So when we talk about, you and I talk a lot about, you know, there are some districts, people do live in districts where their only options are going to be a couple Democrats. And so you talk about don't not vote. If one is more moderate, vote for that one. And so it's possible there's Democrats in that district who are like, you know what, this is a red district, and I feel like Andrew Hayes is the one that I want running. I mean, because it's still their assembly person, you know, they're still their representative. Okay. They're going to vote. And so I'm saying, do we really care? Now, of course, if we're finding out that he's bought and then he's going to go vote for their special interests and stuff, that's a concern, absolutely. But I just, sometimes we got to calm down about this stuff. You know, if I live in a very red district, but if I were maybe in, I'm in Orange County, and maybe if I lived in LA and I know that like my sheriff is going to be more Democrat or my, you know, whatever, I'm still going to vote and I'm still going to try to get the more moderate one in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in California, sadly, you do have to play that game a little bit. Like, it was, the sheriff of L.A. County, Villanueva, who was against a lot of the COVID lockdown stuff. He was against, he wasn't going to enforce a lot of it. And he became, like, public enemy number one because he wasn't going to enforce any of it. So they went out and found
Caruso.
I think it was somebody else who was the police chief of L.A. City, who was way left of Villanueva. And it was one of those things where it was like Democrat versus Democrat. So it's like, kind of got to go with the Villanueva, even though it's a Democrat, because he's been really good on the COVID stuff.
Right.
Over here is like really bad on a lot of this stuff. So, but it is, the point of this is that in California, like I say at the top of the show, there's a lot of people who are looking for someone to help us, someone to lead us out of this wilderness that's here in California. And just be careful. When someone gains popularity, makes a lot of money, we've seen it before, we've seen it since 2016. Just be careful. Research them, look into them, see where the money is coming from, see what they're spending money on, see what their goals are. Have they accomplished stuff? Like, you can see that stuff. You can literally look it up. Like, we've had great assembly members and senators on this who've actually done work. They've put in bills. They've gotten stuff done. Actions speak louder than words. And sometimes there's people in the political arena who they're all talk and nothing happens. You know, I can't name one thing that Reform California has actually accomplished other than ride on the coattails of other people's work and make money off of it. I guess their one accomplishment is that they make a crap ton of money. That was a good episode. And again, we almost ran almost the same time as the last episode.
It's kind of fun that we had people that we were talking about in there to answer questions.
Yeah, and it's great because there's like
talking to Jack further. I don't know if Jack wants to talk to us or if you do, but I'm interested in talking to Jack further.
Yeah, we maybe offline we'll chat with Jack and get more of information. Yeah, we're open to it, man. I'm sorry, it's just because of the time and everything, we couldn't like bring everybody on. But it was great. We had all these different live streams going tonight. We love when people are engaged and having questions and comments and stuff like that. So on that note, make sure to like, share, subscribe, review, all that stuff. It helps us with the algorithm, helps people find us. We're also on audio at Spotify. Make sure you go over there, follow, hit the notification bell so you get notified every time there's an audio podcast. And make sure you leave a little review too. That helps too over on Spotify. And the best thing you can do to help this show and to support this show is to share it with somebody else. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything and it helps support people. So especially in an election year, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Next week we have Denise on, who is running for assembly. She'll be on Tuesday. So we're excited to have her on, and we're probably gonna have a lot more candidates on. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you to everyone. So we'll see you on the next one. Have a good night, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of California Underground. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe, like, and review it, and follow California Underground on social media for updates as to when new episodes are available.